Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hooked, the podcast where we come up with plot hooks so that you don't have to. I am your host, Ainsley Weber, here with my reliable co-host across the table from me.
It's Faith. I exist.
Controversial.
This podcast.
To my left.
It's me, Jonathan. Hello. Howdy. Ahoy hoy. What's
and
up?
To my right.
Politically, yes, I am to your right. My name's Dom, and I don't think anyone should be allowed to vote.
A bold call. Let's see
how it plays out for them, Cotton.
Yeah, let's see if it blows through.
Faith is regretting some choices.
I've regretted every
point.
Single choice I've ever made in my life up until this moment.
That's including talking about like the visual novels that you're a fan of, like the Dating Sims. Was that a regret as well?
No, okay, that cool. Wasn't.
So I've got a getting to know you question.
Yeah, go.
What the fuck?
Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much is property theft?
Property is... The degree to which property is not theft can't be overstated. And if you try to state that on my property, I am actually allowed to shoot you with my gun due to castle doctrine.
I like the character that you've brought to us today of hyper-conservative. Yeah.
It's good to get some different perspectives.
The bow tie is adding a lot to it.
Yeah, I am wearing a bow tie.
A sparkly one.
Sparkly one, although you know, not in a gay way because I don't like those sorts. Yeah, property not theft, actually good. Mm-hmm. That's okay. That is my belief. My name is Donald Reagan, and I believe that.
Well, Donald Reagan has had their say.
And several concussions that led me to that point.
Anyone else have a rating for
so
me?
So what sense are we speaking of in the word property?
Private property.
Private property, like land?
Well, no. So you can have personal property, which includes land, but private property, which is basically you rent to other people.
Oh, landlords are
good.
A word that I shouldn't say on this podcast because I'm trying to maintain a family-friendly image.
Oh, really?
So
you've plugged your OnlyFans.
Yeah, Hooked used to be a kid-friendly zone, and then someone came
along. You brought this filth.
I brought this filth into this podcast.
How dare you put filth on the internet?
So owning private property and renting it to other people is a crime that should be punishable by death.
Well, I am a fan of the death penalty, so we agree on something.
I'm glad we could agree
We're reaching across the aisle right now.
And Jonathan?
Well, as we know, I'm an expert on rating things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what inspired the question.
Yeah. And so I would say, to what degree is property theft? It's somewhere between Luo Tianyi and IA on my Rateloid rankings.
Can you give us some scales of that? Like, how well are they doing?
That is a scale.
Those are the number 3 and 4. So they're very up there, so it's a high degree. I've changed the scale nature on you, but...
Okay, yeah, so you're a bit to the instead bit to the right of me.
No, so instead it's a scale of 1 to 35, to be exact.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, good. Well,
where
now
is it
let's,
for you, Zane?
10.
Yeah.
It's like, yes. Let's get into the episode, shall we?
I was about to go for some chips, and then I realized it's a terrible idea on a podcast.
Correct.
Just crunch.
Yeah, but you're able to do that because of free speech, so
what
feel
you're
free.
Saying is
I'm making this into a mukbang. That's my plan.
Eat this biscuit. Yes.
Okay.
Hello.
This week
and
we have some submitted artwork that we're going to be taking inspiration from, submitted by M. Hetherington.
Who knows if they wanted us to use their last name. M is my partner. And if, like last week or something, as just like a thing to do of an evening, you know, get back into the drawing skills, posted a thing on Facebook where the Facebook post was comment three emojis and I'll draw a deity based on it. And a bunch of people commented a group of emojis. I did a cat with a love heart, a cat doing a smoochy face, and a cat doing a smirky face, and I got a kitty. But this one we're doing is that someone has commented an emoji of a caterpillar, an emoji of a penguin, and an emoji of a camel. And boy, does it look like a deity inspired by that. It's pretty neat.
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to imagine the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, smoke. It's like there's a hooker just like out of frame. Yeah, here, yeah.
With like, you know, with camel face and a couple of humps and you know penguin underbellies.
Yeah, and it's sitting on a futon in this. By the way, it's got kind of a kind of like an Arabian, I guess, vibe. Is that like...
Sure. Yeah, I would say Moroccan, but that's Mediterranean.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, something around there.
Yeah.
And the word that we're taking inspiration from is... I've blanked on it. What is it?
Distorted.
It's distorted.
Distortion.
It's distortion. Yes.
Well...
Excellent. You're close.
Well...
You did really well. I think you can be proud of yourself for that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's been
so,
a rough day for me. Okay?
All right. Well,
okay.
To distract
no.
from your bad day...
I'm having a bad day, so let's make it better.
We're going to make some plot hooks in the form of magic tricks. The first part will be the pledge... The pledge is just the seed of the idea, the little basic, the basic thought that you're going to create your hook around. Then in the turn, we'll turn into something a little bit more mechanical, something a little bit more solid, a bit more interesting. And then finally, in the prestige, we will think about how your players will interact with it and how you can turn your pledge into a story. Now, who would like to go first?
I think Faith would. because she's not eating as a professional podcaster.
I think what we've captured here is the audio of a sugar high. A collective sugar high.
Not me. No, just, this is just my usual bullshit.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Jonathan, you want to go?
I can go first.
Yeah.
Mine's a short one, so I'll keep it easy. So, as we know, a lot of adventures tend to have a hub city that the players will spend a lot of their time in. I think, over the course of the adventure, the players start hearing rumblings of a new mystic that's in town. Someone who can give them predictions of the future or talk to the spirits past, that kind of stuff, right? And eventually, after completing a number of quests, they're kind of left listless, not knowing what to do. And somebody goes, well, you could always go talk to the mystic, find out what to do, get some, you know, they might be able to set you on the right path, that kind of stuff. And I think that's the pledge, is that they're given this idea of you go talk to the mystic, they can give you something.
New mystic in town, they'll will direct you.
Yeah, you'll find guidance.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Short and sweet around here.
Yeah. My one is also short and sweet. I'll go next. A monster has been attacking in town.
Oh, no.
It looks like some sort of strange combination of caterpillar and camel and penguin. it's been striking and then disappearing like very suddenly. Nobody knows how. It's quite massive. It's like... It's like the size of a bendy bus.
Mm.
And it just like, it appears in the streets and wreaks some havoc, and then it just vanishes around a corner. No one knows how it's doing that. And yeah, that's the pledge.
Excellent. And...
The size of a bendy bus is so specific.
It's huge. That's really big as well.
It's very specific. I'm good at describing things.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I've had a lot of sugar, I don't remember what either of your two pledges were. So
they were 30 seconds ago, Faye.
Okay, so mine is set in a Mediterranean town.
Mm-hmm. Did I say Mediterranean or Arabian earlier?
You said Arabian.
You said Arabian.
I said Moroccan and Mediterranean.
Yeah, right. That got me confused because you were just like, oh yeah, that's similar sort of geographically. I'm just like, Morocco and Arabia are not. They have Africa in between them,
yes,
though.
Yeah.
So I was just like, did I say Mediterranean? Yeah. Anyway, Faith.
Closer than we are to them. So...
Really makes you both think.
Top side of head three times.
So... Shush. Okay, so you were in a Mediterranean town. The town is really lovely and contains a big castle. I know that castles are not Mediterranean, but they are in this world.
Sure they are.
They are.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, 100%. Rome existed around the
They did. They weren't big on castles, though.
Oh, the fortifications. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, sure.
Especially in Greece.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you call that a castle. Fine.
Kind of like a tiered city, almost.
Quick
like...
question. What is, like, the distinction of Mediterranean? Like, what is the full... Like...
Bordering on the Mediterranean Sea.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's...
That includes Spain, yeah?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, because lots of castles in Spain. Yeah.
Sure,
yeah, yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, and it is rumored that in this castle/village, very big thing, lives a dragon. And
like just in the village?
In the castle. In
or
the
just
middle.
Like underground?
So I'm imagining this village is like a square and on some cliffs, and then there is a like a big castle in the middle of it,
right.
And then like the village kind of goes around it, right? And in this big castle is a dragon who rules the village. But only during the daytime can you see the dragon. At nighttime, the castle has no lights on it. It's completely empty.
Yes.
The castle also has no servants and never needs anyone to bring in any food. And it's a bit confusing, but the city is well protected. They almost never get raided. Like, there's peace and prosperity, and it's kind of nice.
Now, you say almost never get raided.
Well, they try.
Oh, okay. They're well protected.
They're well protected. Yeah. The dragon doesn't really seem to ask for very much. So, all in all, it's a pretty good deal for the townsfolk.
Yeah. Okay.
So, that's my...
That's your pledge.
Pledge.
Well, let's go straight on into the turns where we must
you
name...
You were first. I was, wasn't I? I was first, yeah.
Where we must name our hooks.
What's up? So, the players enter the Mystic's house... accommodation, building, and they find this...
Boudoir.
Hut?
Yep. Abode.
Boudoir. They find this camel...
Chateau.
His yeah, the Mystic's boudoir. It's just like, excuse me, it's quite rude of you to come in here. I'm applying my makeup, I'm in my underwear.
And they find this camel caterpillar lounging and smoking a very long pipe. I like
camel
the idea of them
pillar.
Sitting on like sitting quite high, but the pipe goes all the way to the ground and it's resting on the ground. I want it to be really long.
Like
doubles
when you try
is like
to,
a horn.
Like when you try to stick straws together to like get to a, like a cup that's really far away.
Yeah. Well, and upon talking to the camel pillar, it promises the players a prediction, one the likes of which they've never seen before. If only the adventurers could maybe offer a little bit of help. You see, to truly read the future in the way that this camel pillar wishes to,
it needs
some materials first. It needs the right objects, it needs to be prepared, it needs to be well fed, all that kind of stuff. And that's where the adventurers simply come in. Because you see, the camel pillar, of course, cannot offer this assistance. But the adventurers, such brave, wondrous, mighty things, they can do it. They can do it themselves. And that is the turn.
Okay. So
the players are given a list.
So
it's a shopping list. Please go to the Aldi.
Please go to the supermarket.
Have everything.
Pick me up these ingredients.
No, no off brands. Name brand only.
It's a fun mix of like very mundane things like apples and also very hard to find like rare relics. So it's tough to really get a gauge on what they want, you know.
Okay.
Yep.
This had better be a good premonition.
Making a fruit salad.
Like, I don't know. As a player, I'm like, ugh, psychics?
Yep.
Ugh.
Can't trust them.
If you are not going to give me exposition right now, I'm not interested.
Hey,
you're going to love my prestige.
What's it called, by the way?
Oh, it is called the Conniving Camel Pillar.
The Conniving Camel Pillar.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent.
I couldn't fit Penguin in there. I'm very sorry for...
Was it Dom?
It was Dom. So the Parsi investigates this strange repeated attack that has, like, this monster's been attacking the city for some time now. And people say, like, once you get to talking to, like, some of the more historically aware people, they say, oh, this creature actually attacked before, but it was many centuries ago, and it hasn't been seen in the years since at all. It seemingly was driven off, but it wasn't defeated, we know that. It just stopped attacking one day, and we don't know what happened to it. But now it's returned, and while the party are doing their investigation, another attack will happen, and they'll fight the monster probably, and the monster will eventually try to retreat, and it'll run down the street, and it'll run around the corner, and the party will race and try to catch up. And when they get there, they just see the crowd of people fleeing, and like the monster isn't there. Like, ah, oh, it must have it's vanished, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. And what do we?
We're waiting for the next one actually, because it is a bit of a spoil.
Okay.
I don't want to. I don't want to.
Right.
I don't want to ruin.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Yeah.
All right, Faith.
Okay, so town, big castle, dragon lives in there, only seen during the day, nothing happens at nighttime. So the adventuring party should investigate this castle and this dragon. I'm really hoping that they do.
There's going to be one that's like, wait a minute.
There always is. So, and if they attempt to sneak into the castle at night, during the day or any time. So during the day, dragon. Dragon that looks suspiciously like a camel crossed with a caterpillar.
bit of penguin in there, maybe?
Penguin in
I'm
there,
a huge fan of that dragon concept, though.
And but at nighttime, mm-hmm. regular human.
What?
Yeah.
So are they asleep?
Oh, yeah. So when they're asleep, regular human thing.
Okay. Mm. Not a person, a thing.
Not a person.
You know.
That's human thing.
Well, yeah. Like, regular human.
Are they a
person?
Cattle?
John Carpenter's the regular human thing.
Yeah, you know, just regular human.
Okay.
Standard human.
Just a totally normal guy.
Can make,
it's not three kids standing on each other's shoulders in a trench coat. I can't stress that enough.
Just standard human, can make how you like. And the so this human person has had a curse bestowed upon them. Kind of very Swan Princess vibes. Mm-hmm. So
or Shrek.
Or Shrek, yes. Our Lord and Savior Shrek. So and in order to break the curse.
Wait, do you want to say this or do you want to save the prestige?
Wait, yeah. Are we still on the turn?
Yeah, this is the turn.
Yeah, this is still the turn.
No, you're fine, don't worry.
What's it called?
It's called
the human thing.
John Carpenter's totally normal human thing.
Yeah,
just a regular,
John
everyday,
Carpenter's
normal guy.
The human thing.
John Carpenter's John Carpenter.
1982, that's what it's called.
John Carpenter's John Malkovich.
Yep, good. Okay.
Wait, what was the name of the end?
John Carpenter's Human Thing, 1982.
Okay, cool. Good.
That's what it's called.
Yeah. Yeah, the names were originally.
I know that
to,
this is, name
to,
is.
To make it convenient to refer to them.
I know that this name is not going to win.
Okay, what if we base it? What if we base it on the 2011 prequel?
I think
instead?
It might win. It's incredible. Wait,
what if we base it instead? It's not the 1982 film. It's the 2011 prequel remake.
No. This is when you do it for the second group after you focus tested it and get rid of anything that made the original good. You know?
Yeah, let's get rid of the like the animatronics and do it in CGI. That's a great idea.
And
we
let's
make
never
a film podcast.
Ever
we
question
shouldn't.
Why there are so many flamethrowers in a car. Big compounds. Jonathan, prestige.
This becomes a game to see how long you can keep the players doing very mundane, inane tasks while you try to come up with the next story thread in the background. Is
yeah.
largely
I
what
need
this
you to
is.
Get this shopping list. Oh, I actually have my niece needs to be picked up from the other town.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm sorry. No, you see, I have a family member staying in town, and I just need to make sure that they're safe. So if you could follow them around, I need to be truly comfortable during the ritual. So I do need a new pillow to sit on.
I need you to sew it.
So what you're saying is that this is a filler arc.
Yeah, yeah. This is a con you're playing on your players.
Yeah.
And what I imagine is if they ever do actually confront the camel pillar, it will completely break under pressure. It's like it's new to the whole con game. It's not too good at it. And it's actually revealed that it's three camels hiding their heads under blankets to make it look like they're all connected. Because if you look at the artwork that we've got, they actually have like the humps are covered by some kind of decoration. So I imagine they could just sort of hide under that and look. The camel pillar is actually three separate camels. They've simply been selling the artifacts on eating the food giving part. Oh yeah, completely sentient camels. They could all speak. It leads to a very fun conversation when they finish each other's sentences, but that's, you know, they make a great barbershop trio.
I feel like the DM here would need two camel hand puppets and a camel mask.
Yes. Yeah. I do encourage props.
For a truly immersive experience.
And so have extra characters, you put them on your feet as well, so you have some camel toes.
What was this one called again?
It was the Conniving Camel Pillar.
The Conniving Camel Pillar.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's... I don't think we need to explore that anymore.
I think it's a hell of a prestige.
I think that your name is...
I think it's
not John Carpenter's The Normal Human Thing, 1982.
I think it's it's definitely you need to have the right players for them not to hate you.
Oh yeah, no, you got to be best friends with these folks. I feel the hate is what the intended outcome of this is, and it teaches them a good lesson about trust and how you shouldn't just trust anything that you find.
All right, we ready to move the fuck on?
Please,
no. I love this.
So mine is called the Criminal Cruise Creature Costume.
The Criminal Cruise Creature Costume.
Yep.
Because what it turns out is eventually, like, the party probably, like, turning this corner and seeing, like, a crowd of people like, oh, we're terrified. Hopefully they'll be able to be like, wait a fucking second. What's going on here?
Wait, you want players to show restraint.
Yeah. Like, eventually the way that it does turn out is that the creature is actually in, like the dragon dance sort of thing from Chinese New Year, where you just, like, it's nine people, like, concealing themselves underneath. I'm doing a dance for you guys right now. You can't hear it.
It's incredible. It's a good dance.
And so basically they put the costume on nine people in a row, and then like they activate it and it turns them into the monster. And what they're doing, what no one has put together, but hopefully the party will put together in their investigation, is that every time the monster attacks on one side of town, like a bank job or something happens on the other side of town. Like I'm trying to think of like the
diversion.
Yeah, like or distortion. But no, like it's like it's like you start a fire to suck away the oxygen from another fire, or whatever like that idiom is about.
Backburning.
Sure. Like, but yeah, it is a diversion tactic. So like while these guys are attacking one side of the town, a bigger job is job is happening there while the guards are distracted.
Interesting. My question is this an item? Because this would be a very fun item to give to a party.
So what it is that I have a magic item as my card. I also had cult on the other side. I was considering making these guys a cult, but no, I thought it would be funny if they're using this colossally powerful thing for just like a mundane divert. Yeah, just like, we're going to get so much gold using this centuries old
stealing
magical
from
artifact.
Market stalls.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, oh, I got so many Fabergé eggs now, you guys. Maybe we could use these to like fight this thing to fight for the realm or something.
Bank jobs.
Yep.
All right.
The criminal cruise creature. What is this?
The criminal cruise creature costume.
Yes, the criminal cruise creature costume.
I think that's what we said.
Yeah. I'm glad we went to the same place on our
twist. As you were saying that, I was just like, yeah, a bit different, but yeah, like we went to the same thing of it looks like it could be.
Yeah, mine's three camels and a trench coat.
Yeah, I looked at it and I was just like, first thing I thought was just like, man, that kind of like, a dragon dance sort of vibe. So yeah.
Okay.
That was pretty good.
Faith. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, you were totally listening.
I was.
The Thing.
John Carpenter's
The Thing,
1982. 1982, yes. This is actually based off my friend Chris's cat. Her name is
Is your friend Chris's cat turned into a human at night?
No. But her name is Miss John Carpenter's The Thing, 1982. Or Miss Thing for short.
Miss.
I think you'll find it's pronounced Miss Thang.
Sometimes, if you're nasty. Okay, so...
I hate you all so much.
You love us.
You can't hate me any more than I hate myself. So, human person who turns into a dragon by day, but this dragon is actually just like a camel and a caterpillar crossed in together. So it's just this grotesque creature thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you get to go on a ragtag adventure to cure the curse for this.
Okay, do they want to be cured? Because obviously like they're finding like a lot of utility in like being this being that can protect the town. Or is it maybe the town needs them to be that, but they don't want to be that?
Yeah, so it's very like the town is like, oh, this is neat. And they're like, this is kind of lonely up here. And
I would like to be a regular human again.
You know.
Oy.
But they can't let anyone come into the castle and see that they're a regular human, because then like the townspeople will be like, oh, well, it's not actually a dragon that will save us. It's this horrible creature. And, you know.
I see.
Yeah.
Cool.
So then you go on a quest to cure this from this affliction.
I assume you have curse on your inspiration card.
I have village.
Aw, cute.
So I tried to make...
You made a dragon village.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, well, that has been Hooked for this week.
Yay.
If you want to use any of these hooks in your personal games, please feel free to and reach out and let us know how it goes. We're on Twitter and we're on Facebook, or you can send us an email at podcast.hooked@gmail.com. As always, we're produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 international license, which means that you're free to share and redistribute the material in any medium or format if you give the appropriate credit. Do not use the material for commercial purposes, and don't remix, transform, or build upon the material in any way without asking us first. Thank you very much.
You saying thank you to me after this episode?
Yes.
Wow.
Go fuck yourself very much, Faith.
That's more like it. You're very welcome. You can find me on the internet. Sometimes I'm funny.
Just
not all the time.
Sometimes.
Just.
We won't tell you where sometimes to find Faith. You can figure that out for yourself if you're worthy.
Only real fans can find
me. Only real fans can find me, and I'm very expensive.
Thank
and
you.
And
very much, Jonathan.
You got a very intimidating look thrown at me by Faith there. Thank you for having me. You can find me at Rateloid, where I talk too much about anime and Vocaloids and video games sometimes. And you can find me on Twitter at Pirate Killjoy, where it's wrestling, Gundam, and video games, and sometimes politics. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
And thank you also to Dom.
Oh, is that me?
Yes.
You mean Donald Reagan? Tied it all back together. If you've liked the story or whatever that I made up, improvised on the spot for this, you should check out the Mistome Museum of Mystery, Morbidity, and Mortality, the audio series that I make myself. And, you know, think of how much you liked this, and then imagine how good I could be if I wrote and edited my stuff. And if you didn't like how I was on this, episode,
fuck off! Right, we'll be back next week. Farewell.
Hi, I'm Jacob Gerstel, and welcome to Tales from the Witcher. This podcast chronicles original short stories written by me and set in Andrzej Sapkowski's Witcher universe. The stories themselves are based on the adventures of my Witcher tabletop role-playing group that I run weekly for my friends. I novelize what happens after each session and record them here for you to enjoy. I have a lot of free time on my hands. We'll follow the exploits of a stoic bear school witcher, an alcoholic elven sorcerer, a resourceful craftsman, and a lively bard, as they try to stay alive during the Third Northern War. There's action and adventure, magic in the mundane, scheming in politics, elves and dwarves, war and peace, and, because it's The Witcher, a touch of philosophy. If you're a fan of The Witcher universe, serialized audiobooks, tabletop actual play reports, or fantasy in general, then this podcast is for you. I'll see you every Wednesday on the continent.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.